Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So good to see you all. I extend my warm welcome to each and every one of you sitting in this beautifully decorated sanctuary, and to all also who have worshiping with us at the comfort of your home. Through the pitch black of night, a Navy captain saw the light dead ahead on a collision course with his ship. He immediately sent a signal: change your course 10 degrees east. The light signaled back: change yours 10 degrees west. The captain was angry and sent another signal: I am a Navy captain. Change your course, sir. The signal came back: I am a seaman, second class. Change your course, sir. The captain became furious at such insubordination and sent another signal: I am a battleship. I'm not changing course. The reply came back: and I am a lighthouse. The lighthouse serves as a beacon for navigation for seafarers. It tells them where ships are located, helps them avoid shallow and rocky coasts, and guide vessels into and out of harbor safely. Its light is very critical at night. Our life is often compared with traveling in an open sea, and the guidance of God works like a lighthouse. Ignoring the light of God is like crossing the vast and dangerous sea without any means of navigation. We may feel like that we are a battleship built to endure fierce storm, but our strength quickly dissipates during stormy nights. God's guidance is the indispensable navigator we must rely on in those situations. John's Gospel explains that God, being the light upon our journey, goes much deeper. John chapter 1 says that God is the light. And it goes more: so is Jesus. This is how we understand the Trinity. God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit are one and share the same nature. John chapter 1 contains another explanation for the Trinity. God was manifested in the form of the Word, that is, Logos, at the time of creation. By His Word, God created the universe and everything in it. The Word was God, and the Word also was Jesus, which means God and Jesus are one and co-creators of the universe. The concept of the Trinity helps us understand God and Jesus as the light as well. God and Jesus were present to create light in the beginning. Genesis 1 says, the first thing that God created was light. Let there be light. Why light first? Because light was the very essence of God. Naturally, the very first act of creation reflected God's essence. Likewise, Jesus is the light and shares the same essence with God. Using my favorite theology, the messianic perspective, God's creating the light means that God created the universe with the very material of the Messiah. From this angle, John's description of the first Christmas, though it may be different from other Gospels, it is very accurate. When he said, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Jesus later in John's gospel affirmed that he was the light. John 18:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. John 12:46, I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. According to John's gospel, the first Christmas was the historical event of God's light coming into the world through Jesus, who is the light. There is more. John, one of the disciples of Jesus, wrote the book of Revelation. John is the one who wrote the book of the Gospel of John and then also book of Revelation. Do you know how Revelation, book of Revelation ends? John in the book of Revelation describes the New Jerusalem at the very end of the Revelation. And it says, the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. In the New Jerusalem, the Lamb, Jesus, is its lamp. God gives them light. See, the light of God and Jesus was present in the beginning. The light of God came into the world through Jesus. And exactly as it was in the beginning, the presence of God and Jesus as light is in the end. Now, here's another point about Jesus being the light of the world. It implies the scope of God's grace and salvation. Light disperses and travels. They say that there is no known limit to how far light can travel. The earth is about 92 million miles away from the sun. We not only see its light, but feel the heat from the sun, even though it is 92 million miles away. The second farthest planet, Uranus, is about 1.7 billion miles from the Earth, and it is technically visible to the naked eye at night. Of course, with the help of telescopes, humans can watch stars that are not billion miles, but billions of light years away. This kind of observation is possible because light travels on unlimited distance. Similarly, the light of Jesus shines on everyone, and everyone is given a chance for salvation through faith. This is the message of John 16, with which we are very familiar. God so loved the world that he sent one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The light of Jesus shining on the world implies universal grace, which is also called common grace. Wesley called it a prevenient grace that is given to all. Everyone on the face of the earth has a chance for salvation, but it should not be confused with universal salvation, which assert that everyone is saved regardless. Universal salvation may sound appealing, but it is not biblical. John 3:16 is a summary of the entire Bible, and universal grace, that God's grace is given to all so that they may be saved as they believe. That universal grace is the summary of John 3:16. Let's look into one more about Jesus being the light. the verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. To me, this is a very, very profound statement. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. The first Christmas was the very event of this light coming into this dark-stricken world and defeating the darkness. The world had been under the power of darkness, which dominated from the time of the fall from glory in the Garden of Eden and was without hope. The condition of the world was just like the misery of slavery by which the people of Israel were bound. No human could fight against Pharaoh. Figuratively, Pharaoh was the symbol of Satan. And Israel lived in bondage without a slight chance of liberation. But Pharaoh was powerless before the mighty hand of God and did not have any other choice but to let the people of Israel go. In the same manner, when the light shines in the darkness does not have any power to resist the light. There is no other choice for the darkness other than being cast out by the light. That is unalterable fate of the darkness forever. God fixed the fate of Satan, the prince of darkness, at the very moment of the fall. God said to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Jesus came as an offspring of woman on Christmas. He was the only one. And crushed the head of the old serpent and defeated it once for all. However hopeless darkness may seem, it can never stand the light of Jesus. However, how do we see darkness long after the light of the world came? Because many still choose to live in darkness. Jesus said in John chapter 3, light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds may be exposed. It is sad but true that darkness exists in many hearts and lives. But those who come to the light of Jesus, darkness is defeated and hope is restored. This is the victorious living given to the children of light, every believer in Jesus. During his championship years with the Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan was motivated by many things. One motivation most people did not hear about was his desire to win for the sake of the new players and coaches who had never been on a championship team. So it was in 1997 when the Bulls pursued their fifth championship. Assistant coach Frank Hamblin was new to the team that season. Before coming to the Bulls, he had been an assistant coach on various teams for 25 years, but did not own a championship ring. He was now 50 years old. Jordan told writer Melissa Isaacson of the Chicago Tribune, he's been around the league for so long, on a lot of teams and made some great contribution, and then not to be on a championship team. That will be my gift to Hamblin. That is part of my motivation. Hamblin said, Michael came to me early in the season and told me it was a big motivation for him to win so that I can get a ring. when the basketball player in the world, the best basketball player in the world tells you that, it certainly made me feel special. The Bulls did win all in 1997, and Frank Hamblin got his ring. Now, question is, did Michael Jordan win always? This is what he later stated. I missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I failed over and over and over in my life. We all agree with Michael Jordan. We win some and lose some. But remember this. In our spiritual battle against the dark forces, Jesus is determined to carry all of his faithful followers to victory. Jesus came into the world on Christmas Day to defeat the darkness. Christmas speaks hope in hopelessness. Christmas reminds us of the victory that Jesus himself guaranteed. Much better than Michael Jordan did. Jesus came and won the victory in Calvary. Are you in darkness? Do you feel a shadow in particular areas in your life? Invite Jesus. Turn on the light of Jesus in those areas and keep it burning. Jesus will surely drive out glooms from our hearts and lives and shine unto our path. Amen.